by the aesthetic simplicity of math. Join us for a musical meeting of the right and left brain. Further information and tickets available at cap.ucla.edu and kpfk.org.
And welcome to KPFK's Arts and Review, celebrating the best in live theater and cabaret in the greater Los Angeles area. I am your host, Julio Martinez, and I'm very happy to say I'm going to be talking about productions from two of LA's leading smaller theaters, Theater West and the Odyssey Theater Ensemble. So please stay tuned to Arts and Review. Hi there. Yes, this is Julio Martinez, and I'm going to first be talking to two people who are involved in a play at Theater West. And the cast is very interesting. There are three individuals and three dogs in it. I think I have that right.
That's at the Odyssey.
That's at the Odyssey Theater. Thank you. May I please introduce Barbara Grant? Are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
And Ralph Cole?
Yes, Ralph Cole Jr.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
No worries, Julio.
So, Barbara, you're the playwright and the director of this. I have to ask you, how did this play come to mind?
I'll tell you the truth. During the pandemic, half of the people I know, or let's say three quarters of the people, adopted dogs. They couldn't take it, living on their own, having nobody to talk to, no one to cuddle. And the next thing I knew, everyone had a dog. And I found this out at a dinner I go to every Friday night. It's a Shabbat dinner for the Jews to eat an enormous amount of food and learn something from the Torah. And the rabbi allowed people to bring their dogs to a particular Friday night. And in walked 35 to 40 people, all with at least one dog. There was one couple who had three. And as the conversation wore on, they shared with everyone else that these dogs had saved their lives. And I became curious about that as the dogs were their main source of conversation. And I thought, wouldn't it be special on this holy night or maybe any other night if the dogs spoke back to these poor, desperate people who so needed their love and affection? So to answer your question, long way around, I thought about the idea during the pandemic, and I thought about all the dogs I had had over my lifetime, and how I thought, I bet they're talking to me in their own silent way, particularly when I say things that are completely stupid and ridiculous. I'm sure they're commenting and would love me to hear what they're saying, so I would stop being silly and get on point and talk about something that really mattered.
So you've been in previews for a while, but you open tomorrow night, is that correct?
Yes. Very exciting to finally open.
And Ralph Cole, you're not playing one of the canines here. You're actually playing a human being.
That's right, Julio. I'm playing one of the dog owners. And there are three of us dog owners, and we each own a dog. And I am the proud owner of a lovely white French poodle named Zeus, played deliciously by Chris Schellinger.
Uh-huh. Is Chris in costume?
Chris is in costume, and we are all in costume. And the humans playing dogs are in wonderful costumes designed by Lisa Lupo to illustrate what their particular dog would look like in a comical way.
Wow. So, during previews, I have to ask you, Bara, were you surprised where the laughs were and the laughs weren't? When you were...
To be honest, I never really go by laughs. I had a lot of laughs, and some of them were surprising, but mostly I listened to whether or not the words I wrote are making sense to people. And the good thing during the previews is that everybody was supremely concentrated and listening. And yes, we had a lot of laughs. But that's just because I wrote a comedy. And people were supposed to laugh, and they did. And it was thrilling.
Well, you were both the writer and the director.
Yes.
Did the director ask for any rewrites from the writer during the course of the show?
The director did, and unfortunately the writer listened. And so every day my poor cast came in. They were thrown new bits of dialogue to incorporate, or they were thrown cuts of things I didn't like. And now it's too late for me to interfere any longer, because once we open, my job is done.
Now,
it was a treat. I have an incredible cast of great actors, and they brought the play to a much more exciting level than I thought I had written it at. So I'm so happy, so pleased, and can't wait for bunches of people to march on in and share it with me.
Well, the Odyssey Theater is located at 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard. The performances are just the weekends, Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. Is that correct? No,
that's
Sunday.
Correct. We also have a matinee on Saturday, Julio, at 2 o'clock p.m.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's it. There's two performances on Saturday.
Correct.
And you've been very kind to offer two pairs of tickets to any of KPFK members. So I want to say, if you're a member of the KPFK family and would like to get a pair of tickets, you can call 818-985-5735 plus 2. And my producer, Donna Walker, will be happy to take your name. And they're for any performance, I believe. And
yes, that's correct.
And it's running, like as I said, through November 2nd. So you have time.
Right.
So
hurry on up.
So
yes, it'll be a wonderful fall excursion for families and children 12 and up to enjoy, Julio, for the month of October into the first 2 days of November.
So, Bera, like me, you're a New Yorker.
Yes, I am.
You were born slightly more downtown than I was, but do you still live in New York?
I don't live there. I live here in California. I wrote a show, a one-woman show, called Miss America's Ugly Daughter, that I performed in New York. And it was mostly about having a mother who was once Miss America and the effect it had on me, which was not great. But mother-daughter relationships are complex. I did what I could to make her nice, but it was hard.
Well, the daughter is Bess Meyerson, who was Miss America 1945, just as the war was ending. And being the first Jewish Miss America, she became very prominent. She was also 5'10", which made her prominent as well.
Right. She was my mother, and I played the daughter in the show.
Uh-huh.
And it's all about the travails that I underwent trying to meet up to expectations. And I certainly wasn't as beautiful as she was, hence the title, Miss America's Ugly Daughter.
Well, you have
got... That was a comedy as well.
You've gotten on to become a very accomplished writer and director. You're the author of the book, Jane Smith, a.k.a. Thistle Fabuloso. And your play...
Yes, it's a book I just put out on Amazon, and it's about childhood depression as seen through the lens of laughter.
And your play, A Mother, A Daughter, and a Gun, was performed all over the country, Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, and it starred Olympia Dukakis. So,
yes.
You've performed your one-woman show, Miss America's Ugly Daughter, in several venues, here in Los Angeles as well.
Yes. We were in three different venues, the Broad, the Greenway, and one I can't remember, and the Edgemar. And then in New York, we were off Broadway across the street from Lincoln Center.
So
very exciting.
I want to do this commercial once more. The play is opening officially tomorrow night at 8 p.m. at the Odyssey Theater, 2055 South Sepulveda Boulevard in L.A., West L.A., actually. And it's also performing 2 p.m. and 8 p.m. on Saturdays, Sundays at 2 p.m., going through November 2nd. And to get tickets, you can go to goplayonstage.com. If you haven't taken advantage of our great opportunity to call KPFK and get your free pair of tickets, we're offering two free pairs. And you call 818-985-5735 or 818-985-KPFK, press 2. I want to thank you both for being here. Ralph, I didn't get much to talk to you about your part in the play.
No, that's fine. What would you like to know, Julio? I'd be happy to share something with you.
Tell me about Terrell.
Well, my character, Tyrell DeForge, is a wonderfully eccentric and flamboyant ex-Broadway singer and dancer who suffered a slipped disc situation and had to withdraw from the performance world. And regrettably, as a result of that, he pondered what could he do to keep manifesting his wonderful love of performing. And he channels that desire into his white poodle, Zeus. And Zeus becomes a best in show winner at Westminster in England. And Tyrell is able to vicariously live through the awards of his dog.
Well, if those out in KPFK land want to know how the dogs and the adults communicate, you're just going to have to go to the theater. And it opens tomorrow night. The rest of the cast includes Scott Golden and Chris Schellinger.
Schellinger.
Susan Huckle, Lisa Jeffrey, and Peter
Joffrey, Lisa Joffrey.
Okay. And Peter Pasco. I hope I got that right.
And Janine Venable.
I don't see Janine here. But yes, I'll take your word for it. Yes.
Yes, Janine plays our wonderfully pink Yorkie.
Oh, that is amazing. I'm going to have to go out and see this show.
You absolutely will, Julio and Donna. Barra has written a riveting comedy that is very well needed and deserved in our society now.
Well, yes, it does make you laugh.
I tend to. I want to thank you both for being here. It's been great talking to you. And I really do want to go out and see this show. The Odyssey is one of the theaters I used to be a publicist for back in the day. And Ron Saucy and I went to college together. We were even in the same musical, Kismet, at University of Michigan. But I want to thank you both for being here.
Yes.
Thank you very, very much, Julio. We very much appreciate you taking the time to welcome us.
Yes, and we'd love you to be our guest at the show.
Well, I thank you, and I'll be there soon.
Okay, Julio. Have a good day. Que tenga un buen día.
Bye-bye. As I said, I have two pairs of guests here. I just talked to one pair, and I have a second pair upcoming. So please stay tuned to Arts and Review. Well, that was the commercial. Now I'm back. And I have to welcome to the show my guest. And I'll get it. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Victoria Lavin. I am the music moderator for the Music Workshop at Theater West. And I'm also the director of vocal health at Amda College for the Performing Arts in Hollywood.
And you're the director of Age of Aquarius, 67 to 72, the Songs of Rock and Roll Soul.
Songs of Rock and Soul, that's correct, yes.
That's quite a title.
It is. It's quite a show. We're really, really proud of it. We're very excited. We're very excited to bring this to Los Angeles.
Now, you're running September 21st. What are the complete dates?
The complete dates are just this weekend. It's a special concert event to fundraise for the music programs at Theater West. So it's tomorrow, September 20th at 7:30, and Sunday, September 21st at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock, mm-hmm. Yes. And you have a guest with you.
I'm accompanied by the music supervisor for our show, John Goo, who is here, obviously for the show. And we work together. This is our third show together, so yeah.
There's a lot of music involved in this. And this is music that had very specific identities, depending on who was performing it. How did you put this together? What kind of band did you have?
Right, so that's a great observation on your part. I put together medleys so that you could address the singer-songwriters, like Joni Mitchell.
Right.
You could have Motown, you know, everybody from Stevie Wonder, Aretha Franklin, and so forth. Then you could have rock bands, so you have The Doors, and you have Steppenwolf, those kinds of bands from that era. And we have a love song section that covers everybody from The Carpenters to Roberta Flack.
That's a lot of arranging to do.
It was a lot of arranging to do. In fact, it took two arrangers to write all the charts for the band.
And I have to say, John spent an entire month culling through over 100 songs to come up with the 30 to 35 songs that ended up in the show. And they're not full songs. It's an edited, each song is edited with the exception of two full songs. And I would love to just tell you how this show came to be, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
Okay. Well, it was 2024, and it was the day after our general election, our country's general election. So our workshop always meets on Wednesday evenings from 7 to 9. And one of our regular members came in and was quite somber and got up and sang beautifully with utter stillness Tomorrow Belongs to Me from Cabaret. And the entire workshop was in tears. And we didn't really say anything about it. We just all sort of understood why he was singing that song and what he was feeling. And we moved along. But then as weeks went by, people started to bring in similar kinds of songs. And then about January, February, somebody said, we should bring in protest songs. and then that happened for a couple of weeks. And then somebody said, well, why don't we do a show? We could do a show with protest songs. And we're talking about songs by Tom Lehrer, you know, rest in peace, Tom Lehrer, to Hair, to, you know, a wide variety of songs, most of them very funny. And ultimately, what we decided, based on what the members were bringing in, was to focus in on the years of 67 to 72, because they're so pivotal culturally and musically when it comes to pop rock music. And so when I involved John, he's really an expert in this kind of thing in the first place, and he just ran with it and has put together just an incredible array of A-list songs from that time period that really frames the time period in every way you can think of.
It sure strikes home for me. I used to be a member of a company called the San Francisco Mime Troupe and then the Committee, and one of our producers was Bill Graham.
Oh.
He produced the San Francisco Mime Troupe. And one time we got arrested out in the park, and we had to have a fundraiser, so we did it in the loft that we had in downtown San Francisco. And he said, I got to get a bigger place. Next week, he entered. He found this vacant Black Lodge Hall called Fillmore Auditorium.
Oh, my.
And it all went from there. And all the guitarists I knew and singers who were all working individually started forming groups. Mm. So I have to ask you, these groups of people come in. Have you have a new band coming out? You have a new trio?
We're very, very fortunate to have the players that we have for our band. We have a six-piece band. We have, obviously, guitar, bass, drums. We have a saxophonist. We have a trumpet player and an amazing musical director on keys, Tom Greep. And so these are really wonderful A-list musicians in the Los Angeles area who are working for this fundraiser for our theater. Primarily, to be honest, because they all are in love with this music. Every time I have presented the opportunity to participate in this show in any way, every person from the band to the crew to the singers have said, oh my gosh, we love this music. And everybody has at least one story, usually more like 50 stories, about what this music means to them and how they've encountered it over their lives. And it has just been a beautiful, serendipitous thing. So when John and I set out to do this, we sort of made a little mantra, a little motto, that this was going to be a show that was beautiful, fun, and cool. And I have to say, that has been true for everything that we've done with this show. So we're really excited to present this to people.
Well, have any of the individuals decided they're going to team up with another individual?
Oh,
go out for a recording contract?
Well, you know, from your mouth to God's ear. the performers that we have seven performers from the Theater West Workshop, all who are professional actors, some of whom have been professional singers. And then I have brought in seven guest artists who are graduates of AMDA College for the Performing Arts. Most of them are working professional singer actors. So the level of performance and the level of singing is off the charts. Fantastic.
I didn't get a chance to ask you beforehand, but is there any possibility we could get a pair of tickets for KPFK?
We would love that. Absolutely. Yes, let's do it.
Well, why don't we do two pairs?
Two pairs is perfect.
So, again, I'm going to ask you out there if you can call 818-985-KPFK, 818-985-KPFK.org, press 2. And you can get a pair of tickets for free just because you support KPFK Pacifica Radio. Now, you're only doing two performances.
Right.
Any possibility this could expand into a longer run?
This won't expand into a longer run, but this is a show that we could bring back again if we wanted to. But in my mind, and I actually have put this out there, this is a show that begs a sequel.
Aha.
Yeah. So so understand, the volume of music.
That's what I mean. There's a
yes, it's just unbelievable. So were we able to draw from everybody's favorite artists? No. In fact, a lot of my favorite artists are not included. And so, you know, I think it's Stephen King that said, don't be afraid to kill your darlings when you're creating work. So we killed a lot of darlings, yeah.
I have just a short story to tell. When I was in the committee, one of the performers was Mimi Farina, mm-hmm. Joan Baez's sister. Mm-hmm. And since we looked Latino, they used to team us up a lot. But Al and I were also working at a club called Gatsby's in Sausalito. And Mimi came in one time. She said, I have a friend here. I'd like you to meet Joni Mitchell.
Oh, my.
And that's the first time I heard Both Sides Now.
Is that right? That's in our show.
Yeah?
Yeah. Amazing. Wow.
Oh, the past. Anyway.
That song is as relevant today as it was the moment she...
Oh, sure.
She, yeah, yeah. And it's beautiful.
I have to ask you, where did you get your music background from?
Oh, gosh. I started singing really, from what my parents tell me, from birth. I was just sort of came out singing, and it's just always been a through line in my life. I sang classically as a classical singer for about 25 years, and that ran its course for me. I still really love it. I still sing it. I just don't do it publicly so much anymore. And I ventured off into theater music, which in the moment that I did that was more satisfying. The storytelling was deeper. And understand, I was a coloratura soprano when I was singing classical music, so that Fach is what they call it in classical music, is narrow. So, you know, and it's always a young girl, and, you know, don't we wish we could all stay that age forever, but you don't. And my artistic spirit just wanted more. I just wanted to dig deeper and do things that were different. And I found honestly, I found myself taking classical music and making it more of a theatrical experience than a singing experience. And that was my clue to myself that I needed to branch out and do something different.
Wow. And you, sir, how did you get started in music?
You know, it was rock bands. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Early 80s, touring the West Coast and the Inland Empire. And, you know, back then it was everything from Bon Jovi to Billy Joel. So that's how I started. But like Victoria, I've loved music since I was in my bedroom as a little kid, tuning into the radio.
My producer is warning me it's time for me to go. But her guest today is Oscar-winning filmmaker Kai Versace, I got that all wrong, to talk about her latest film, Lost in the Jungle. Please stay tuned to KPFK's Pacifica Performance Showcase. That's upcoming, and I want to thank my guests for being here through this rather erratic half hour.
That's okay. Thank you so much, Julio. Pleasure to be here.
Gracias.
Bye-bye.
This is KPFK. On Tuesday, September 23rd, we're kicking off our most important push of the season, our Fall Fund Drive. Your donations, not corporate advertisers, are what power the progressive voices and unique programs you tune in for. We need your help to get a running start on our goal. Make your gift today, and you'll be one of the first to contribute to this critical campaign. Your contribution makes a direct impact, ensuring that we can continue our mission providing free speech radio. Please make your contribution today by visiting kpfk.org/donate.
Coming up this week on LA Theater Works.
On the floor of a Florida cigar factory, a Leo Tolstoy novel is read out loud to the immigrant workers.
He covered her face and shoulders with kisses.
inciting passions and jealousies with each new chapter. Jimmy Smith stars in Anna in the Tropics by Nilo Cruz. Next time, Tropics by Nilo Cruz. Next time on LA Theater Works.
That's this Sunday.